Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to share the word together today. We thank you, Father, that you ordained this moment in time for us before we even existed. When we stop and think about those things, it just boggles our mind. So finely tuned are our steps that you just have laid out for us already. And we thank you, Father, for those steps. We thank you for teaching us how to choose in our life and for giving us your loving kindness and your mercy every day. They're new every morning, your word says, that your mercies are new every morning. And we thank you, Father, for this day. We receive this word, Father, with thanksgiving today. We receive it because you have ordained it for us to hear today. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll bring forth the fruit that you desire for this word. Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're still on a study in the living word. And it's been about 4 weeks since we've done this. I've been on a sabbatical, so my wife's been doing it, but she's been doing her own study. So we'll take up where we left off. The last one that we had was number 34, so we'll start with number 35 today. And it's part two of the last one, which Mother taught, the last one, number 34. So it's the Law of Sowing and Reaping, part two. And we'll just mention a couple of points and then go off on this one. The Law of Sowing and Reaping is the title. Anything that has life originated from a seed of some kind. And you know, we need to remember that. Everything that has life. Now, a rock didn't come from a seed. Dirt didn't come from a seed. But everything that exists today comes from a seed, but it originated from a spoken word from God. You know, they always asked a question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, the chicken did, because God created the chicken, you know. He spoke everything into existence. He didn't speak an egg, and the egg became a chicken. You know, you'd have to have two chickens. You know, so it's just common sense to know that God created the chicken. Everything had its origin by God saying, let there be, let there be, let there be. And that's awesome when you think about it. He created everything from the Word.
Amen.
He spoke it and it was. That's all he has to do is say it and it is, because he is I Am. So he spoke everything that exists into existence. And then from that point on, it was seed, plant, harvest. Mm-hmm. Everything from that point, from the point of creation itself, comes from a seed. A tree comes from a seed. Plants come from a seed. We come from a seed. That's why you have to have a man and a woman. They're two different responsibilities, and you have to have that, you know. There has to be a seed. So everything, no matter what it is, if it lives, if it has life, it comes from a seed of some kind. All creation came from the seed of the God's living word. You can call the word he spoke a seed. Even though it existed from that, the word itself became the seed for the creation that was he called into forth. So you can even say the chicken, original chicken, I don't know when it was created, but the original chicken, it came from the seed of the word which God spoke.
Amen.
So we can safely say anything that has life originated from a seed of some kind. Now you can think of we need to take time to think about those things and kind of get an inner image of it for it to become real to us. It's just a very fascinating thing when you take time to meditate on the Word. When it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It takes you a lifetime to meditate on that and get the depths of it. So we need to do that and get an inner image. Sowing and reaping are absolute laws that God himself put in place. An absolute is something that cannot be changed. It's something that is absolute. So, sowing and reaping are two things that God put into play. He caused them to happen. He said this, that this is a law. When he said light be, when he said chicken, that chicken became a law. He didn't say duck. Okay. He said chicken. Now, duck has its own responsibilities, you know, mm-hmm. and we have our own. But each one a law was put into place, and we existed there as a chicken or an egg, or not an egg, but a chicken or a duck or whatever, or a human being. There was a law went into play there. And one of those laws was sowing and reaping. The minute that chicken was created, that law went into play where that chicken was concerned. It, in order for it to exist and to continue to exist, the law of sowing and reaping had to be there. For there to be a Cain and Abel, the first two born human beings, Adam wasn't born and Eve wasn't. Eve came from inside of Adam. You know, neither one. Adam was created. Eve came from Adam. So neither one of them were born. But everybody else after the two were born. There's a seed plant harvest time there that took place. A certain time frame for Cain and Abel to come forth. And every child after that, a certain seed plant harvest time. And if you think about that, it just kind of boggles your mind a little bit when you realize that. I'm sorry to disappoint people. We did not come from slime crawling up on a beach. God created us from the dust of the ground and breathed his own life into us. You know, I mean, we're the only creation that actually can speak and make a difference in, with our words, to change things with our words. You can have a parrot can talk if you train it, but it don't know what it's saying, have no idea what it's saying. You know, it might make a response to a sound that it hears, like cracker, and then once the cracker, it recognizes the sound, and they even say cracker. But there's no life behind what he says. It's just like any other sound he makes. But a human being, when they speak, things happen.
Amen.
We're created in the same image of God, where he spoke and created. We create with our words as well. So, but everything is seed, plant, harvest. Everything. God himself put that law into place. And if I think of it as a law, I can understand it a little bit better. Because it's something that I can't violate. It's absolute. I can try to manipulate it in some way, but it's still God's law, and it's going to take place. And the word says so. We'll read the scripture here shortly. Words are involved in everything that God does and everything that we do. God and his living word are one, and we find that in John 1:1. In the beginning, now, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word before all time. Now, the Amplified says before all time. The beginning that John is talking about and the beginning in Genesis are two different beginnings. Most people don't realize it. You can see this by the way this rest of this scripture reads. The beginning in John 1 is the beginning that was with God himself, where only God existed. He's the only one that existed. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's all that existed. There was no heaven. There was no angels. There was nothing. No time. Just the three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All of heaven, everything that's in heaven was created. So when it says in the beginning in Genesis is the beginning in time. We don't know how long. There's no time in heaven. It's eternity. That's just eternity is God himself. So for a lack of a better term, point, a way of a reference point, we don't know how long it was before when God created all of heaven and the angels and everything. We don't know how long it was before time was created. But time was created as a prison for Satan. When he fell in heaven, he was cast into time. Time became his prison. So, and then hell was carved out for his eternal prison. But as long as time exists, we are all have a limited time. But eternity has no time at all. There's no beginning other than God, and there will never be an end. There will be a time when or a point when time is absorbed into eternity. That's at the last coming of the Lord. Time will become part of eternity where it came from to begin with, and there'll be no more time. Hell will exist. It's eternal too, but it's not part of time. That's a fascinating study. So there are two different beginnings. the world, that when science says the world existed billions of years, that's a truth. No telling how long time was here and the world was here before God created man. There's a lot of time between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. It just says in the beginning. So we know that God created all those things. Science isn't wrong. Science is right. But so is the Bible. Genesis 1 says in the beginning, and tells all of that, he creates everything in the garden, and then he creates man. The world existed, but God put a carved out a garden here out of everything that existed, put man in there. And then man was supposed to go forth and take dominion over the rest of the world because Satan had destroyed it. So anyways, there is that was one beginning in Genesis. The other beginning is in John 1:1. Two different beginnings, two different time frames, two different points. If this beginning in John 1 hadn't taken place, the beginning in Genesis could have never taken place because there would have been nothing but God. So when it says, listen to the way this is worded with that in mind, two different beginnings. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, before all time. So time didn't exist. It's a different beginning. Was the Word, Christ. Was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God. So there we see God and the Word. And then it says, and the Word was God himself. Well, how can that be if the Word was with God? And yay. Hey, Christy, good to see you. If it was, see, if the Word was God, I mean, pardon me, go back a little bit. Okay, I got excited. Okay. If it says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's almost like, how can that be? How can it be? How can the Word be God and yet be with God? You know, it's almost like you're looking at two different people.
Right.
I'm with Charlene, my wife. I'm not saying Charlene and I, we are one by marriage, but we're two different people. I'm not saying we're one as far as people are concerned. We're together. That's kind of the way that sounds. It sounds like you're two different people there. Well, there is. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But the Trinity is one. Now, that's beyond our comprehension, how they can be separate but one.
Right.
But we are spirit, soul, and body. We're the same way. We're created in His image. So when it says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that places the Word itself before all time. And we need to remember that. This Word is not something that God came up. The Word wasn't born. It wasn't created. It's always been part of God. God and this Word are one.
Mm-hmm.
And that Word in front of you on the table is God's own Word. It's His Word that He brought in the form through a man, by the Holy Spirit speaking to him, writing it down, it became the living Word for us. It's absolute truth. It can't be changed. And I need to remember that. See, even if I don't believe in God, it doesn't change the Word. You know, the Word is the Word. Everything functions from the Word. There's nothing that doesn't come from the Word. The Word is the Word. It's absolute.
Amen.
He'll let me walk my own way. I still came from the Word.
Right.
You know, my origin is the Word. Creation itself is the origin is the Word. Well, it doesn't matter if I don't believe it. I can believe there's no error. I can't see it. But I can guarantee you take the error away, I'll find out there's error. You know? And it's the way the Word is. It doesn't matter. Well, it matters if I believe it or not. But it doesn't change it.
There you go.
It doesn't change the fact that the Word's absolute. And it's so sad that people live their whole life and be invited and have some knowledge of it and still go to hell because they didn't believe. They rejected Jesus as Lord and Savior. He is Lord. Whether I believe it or not, He's still Lord.
There you go.
He still went to the cross for me. He still died for me. He still shed his blood for me. Those are all facts. Well, how do you know it's a fact? I know it's a fact. But the Word says so.
Yeah.
Someplace along the line, I've got to believe that Bible.
Yes.
And when I do, then I get life.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get connected with God, and you can't take it away from me. I know it's true. I know it's true. And I know that everything in there is right. So, I go the Word way. I believe it. And hopefully I can help somebody else to believe along the way. So we're talking about, you know, the sower sows the seed. Well, the seed is the Word. It says here again in John 1:1, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. So that still puts it back there before everything. Then it says in verse 3, all things. Now that includes everything. It includes dirt, it includes everything. You know, people say, well, space, that's really nothing out there. No, it was created. So it has a substance. Now, we don't know what that substance is. It appears to be vacant. But if it's inside of time, it has a substance. It was created. It's not really void. We just don't know what's there. But there is a substance there because God created it.
Amen.
So, all things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. So there's absolutely nothing that's been made that didn't come through the Word. So it stands in reason, if all things came from the Word, then that's the answer for all things. If I have a Chevrolet car and I have something go wrong with it and I go to the Ford dealer, that's fine. But he's still going to have to use Chevrolet parts.
Amen, that's true.
To fix it. It's the same way with us. If we have issues and problems in life, we should go to the Word for the answer, because that is the answer. The Word is the creation. The Word is where we come from. And the Word is what governs our life. Whether we think it does or not, it governs our life. So if that's the case, then we need to go to the Word for the parts or for the repair. It stands to reason. If I want to do it myself, I'm going to miss it. The Word is always the answer. It's there. We may not know where it is, but it's there. All things, no matter what they are, came into existence and continue to exist by and through the Word. We're going to look at Colossians 1:16. So not only were they created by the Word, God didn't let go of it. He didn't stop his influence because he created it. When it says he sat down and rested, it doesn't mean he wasn't doing anything. Means he had his part done. So now creation is seed, plant, harvest from that time forward. It's going to continue. But it says here that in Colossians 1:16, for it was in him that all things were created. There it is again. Same with John 1. For it was in him that all things were created in heaven and on earth. Now we see that not only were things created in time, but we see the things in heaven were created. You know, the angels, temple, everything that's in heaven, no matter what it is, was created. Except God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, Mother?
Well, it says in the King James, and it also says in all translations, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, because at the time these letters were written, people were thinking angels were more important than Jesus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They
know?
Were.
And Paul had to make the point that, no, Jesus was first.
Jesus is first.
All
Jesus,
that
he was in the beginning
worship, all that
with
stuff,
God.
You know.
He was in the beginning with God. So we need to take these things to heart and say, okay, you know, there's more happening here than just Genesis 1. That's time. We're talking God himself, back when there wasn't anything but God. That's what we're talking about. All things originate there, no matter what it is. And all things are going to be brought back into relationship with him. That's what Jesus came for. For it was in him that all things were created. This is the amplified part of what she just read. Did you read the amplified?
No, I read the King James.
Okay. it should be similar. For it was in him that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things. And in him all things consist, cohere, and are held together. Without Jesus, there's nothing.
Yes.
It's just that simple. So the Word is involved in everything. No matter what it is, the Word is involved in that. And you say, well, how's the Word present in a desk? It is. The elements there came from the Word. Man was given the knowledge by Word to put those elements together that made up a desk. And if you scientifically look at it, everything in there is moving.
Yeah.
Everything that makes up that table you're sitting at is moving. It's vibrating. Everything exists, and everything is moving in time. Everything is in him. Everything coheres and is held together by him. Genesis.
I had a page out of a magazine that was a advertisement where you could send off for a correspondence course at this university, and the title of the course is How Jesus Became God.
He didn't become God.
Oh my God.
He's always been God.
Yeah.
But that's what they're teaching in the school.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
They don't understand that. They have to come up with how Jesus walked here as a man, and yet he's God.
Then he became God or something. I don't know. No,
he's always been God. He set aside his Godhead. The elements of his Godhead, he set those aside to become a man. He put on his earth suit. That's what he did. And he walked as man because it was the only way we could go free.
Amen.
It had to be a man. So a man had to come, and it had to be a sinless man. They didn't exist because of Adam's sin. That's why Adam thought he had us. But he didn't.
You mean
saved? Oh, glory to God. I'm going through some tapes by Kenneth Copeland and called From the Cross to the Throne, and then what Satan saw on the day of Pentecost. They're both really, they're classics. But it goes through the what happened to Jesus from the time he died from the cross all the way through hell and to the throne. What happened there. And then the other one goes, what happened from hell to the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. They're really just really classic tapes. But anyways, Genesis 8:22. And this is what I've been talking about, seed plant harvest. While the earth remains, or you can say while time remains, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Now God said that. You can't take those elements out because, like I said in the beginning, everything comes from a seed. Even the chicken that was first before the egg, that chicken came from the Word. It came from the seed of the Word. When God said, chicken, and there was a chicken there. Now, he didn't name it. Adam named it.
Yeah. He made God,
it says that God brought everything to Adam so that Adam could name it.
That was our first question, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah. The chicken, that stupid question.
Chicken.
Okay. Anyway, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the Amplified says that and that only. So the Amplified would say, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that and that only he shall also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So what happens when we grow weary, we pull the seed up, we pull the plant up, and we abort its life. Weariness is danger. It takes the life from the seed. It takes the life from the word. And that's why he says, you will reap if you do not grow weary. Because what happens with weariness? You pull your faith away. You know, you're faithless now. You went from carnally minded or spiritually minded, which is life and peace, to carnally minded, which is death. And that's the same thing he's saying here. He's letting us see the difference between the two. So with that in mind, read it again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. How do we sow? We sow with words. Words, is that's the seed. The same way the seed for all things that exist was God speaking it, is the same way with us. God gave us, we're created in his image. We're the only being that can speak and make a difference. Our words mean something. He gave us the same ability he has. So when we speak, we are sowing seed, for good or for bad. But we are sowing seed with every word we speak. Mother always talks about God showing her, when you speak your wrong words, you're sending landmines out there to step on later. But it's the same thing. You can speak words of blessing and sow seed for the future.
Amen.
Yeah, but it's, yeah.
I just wanted to interject something. My mom, I used to be so aggravated with her, because if you go to her with a problem, you're not going to talk, have someone to talk to and to commiserate with. She will cut you off immediately. Immediately, she said, "Now, Christy, that might be the facts, but you know that's not the truth." Okay, but it would be like, "Mom, you know, it'd be so nice if I could actually talk to you. You're not even a person. Just as Christy." Words are, I mean, it's forever, Christy. But now that I'm a little further down the line, I've had some more teaching.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, she's several years
too.
Down, she's very many years down the road in her walk,
yeah.
And immersed.
Yeah.
But I'm just showing you that it was like, okay, Mom, I totally get that now. You know,
yeah.
I don't need somebody to commiserate with me.
Yeah.
It's okay to need to talk about some things, and then you, and then I should immediately be praying the word. What's the word say about that?
Exactly right.
And I noticed Charlene on the prayer line, she doesn't just get up on there once the people say blah blah blah, but if you put a word down, she said, "Now that's something I can get behind and pray with
exactly.
you about.
Yeah.
I can do something
with
that.
That
because that is the answer."
So I mean, you guys, and I've missed you so much, you don't even know. I'm telling you what, I had an excitement on the way here.
Cool.
Even Nathan's wife, what's her name?
Amanda.
She said, "You are just look excited." I said, "Or you look whatever." And I said, "I'm just excited in my spirit. I didn't know it was because you were going to come back today."
It's nice to see you.
And I just wanted to share with you on that. So I'm going to let my mom know, "Hey, Mom."
You're
doing great. You were teaching me right, Mom.
Yeah. Well, sometimes as a parent, it's hard to get those things across to the child. They don't understand.
No, yeah.
And there's got to be... I don't think as parents
sometimes
we identify with the place of the child. It's all right to listen, but teach as you listen.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think I'd have always done that. I was kind of like your mom raising our children because I wanted them to see. I wanted them to know what I didn't know and not to go through what I went through. I wanted them to understand that when they step out in their own life on their own, they better know these principles because they're going to set their whole future with what they're saying.
Wow.
And with what they believe. And sadly, some of them, they started looking at people instead of looking at Jesus.
Well,
and they got hurt in church when they
brother,
did that.
Just know this, I was like that. My mom
was
militant. She was like a robot, we all felt.
Yeah.
And we are so close, okay? But the thing of it is, all these years later, God's grace covered me because I just kept in there, regardless. Mom's prayers,
yes,
I'm sure, held me in there.
There you go.
Regardless, but your kids will see one day, too.
A couple of them have.
We got some in church.
So don't think, oh, Because
no, that's all in God's hand.
Exactly.
We know.
We're at rest. There were not any problems or anything. Although there's two that are off to themselves, and I don't like
actually,
that.
Actually, three.
But the word says the righteous, your righteousness is unto your children's children. Yeah. There are a lot of promises there.
Yeah, they're totally covered.
And there again, we're resting in the Word. Because God's Word's true.
That's it.
You know, it's just simply true. And He will not fail. He will not take away their free choice, but He will not fail. And I know that I could have done some things differently when I taught them. But yet, it's like your mom, what I'm telling you is right. Maybe I'm not telling you in a way that you can hear it. I want you to hear. You kind of say things the way I'm telling her. A lot of times we speak and teach and talk in the way that we hear. You know, we just think everybody here is like us without even thinking about it. They should understand this. Why don't they? You know, and they don't. They hear differently. They're taught differently. They come from a different area. And a lot of times, as an adjuster, I used to have to. Well, I still do, but. As an adjuster, I would have to listen long enough to the person when I was doing a claim to find out where they are. And then I'd have to approach the claim based on how they think and speak. If I don't, you lose the claim. And you hurt the people and you can't get it settled. But you need to go into it listening, trying to find how the person thinks.
I want to do one thing. Huh? Okay, what we're talking about between members of the family and all that is understanding.
Yeah.
We don't have adult understanding, but I want to show you this.
She loves white darts.
It won't take but a minute. When we say understand, you know, you can talk and talk and talk to somebody and still know it's not getting through. Or somebody can really understand you, but you don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of trouble over many years. We finally learned this. It understand doesn't mean I completely receive everything that you're saying, or you're receiving everything I'm saying. What understand means, it comes from two words, understand. And we heard a teaching on this. What it means is to stand under. Or to support, like a bridge. Here's part, and here's part. But if we stand under and support each other, even if we don't quite get what they're saying, we'll agree that they're right,
yeah.
And it'll come to us. But understanding is more than just knowing what somebody's trying to say. It means even if it's not getting through, we still support each other. We're building bridges.
Yeah.
We're building bridges.
Yeah, that's good, Mother.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. Do you see how we can support somebody even if we don't know why they're doing what they're doing, like parents have to do
I
for
love
children?
That.
See?
Because I'm going through with Alyssa right now, guys.
Yeah. You don't understand what's going on, but you don't stop supporting that person.
Right.
Another word you
did hear.
And
they love
that.
You. They love you. But they don't even understand themselves why they're doing that.
Yeah.
But they've got to have our support.
Yeah.
They have to have our support. We have to stand under them.
Yeah. Another way to, what I'm talking about here, another word.
It's like that footprints thing, you know, when you only saw one set of footprints, I was carrying you.
Yeah.
You thought I was gone, but I was carrying you.
Another word here would be comprehend.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a better word than understand here what I'm talking about. To comprehend. You know, because comprehend means that I'm... There again, Doc, understand. But
yeah, but you're building bridges.
But you're the comprehend something means I have an understanding of what you're saying. Again, I may not agree
but
with it.
But comprehend, like where he said that in John's Gospel, that the darkness could not comprehend the light.
Yeah.
It means it couldn't make any attachment to
yeah.
it. It couldn't support it. It couldn't
yeah.
do anything with it.
And,
it was completely cut off. Light and darkness are cut off.
Okay. Was you wanting to say something, Chris?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I really need to hear that this morning.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you.
So, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, or who is carnally minded, not spiritually minded, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So what he's saying here, my actions, my words, what I'm doing is going to get a result. And if I'm being mean and ornery, if I'm being mean towards somebody, whatever it might be, that falls under the area of being carnally minded, that is exactly what's going to come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm putting that in the ground, why should I expect something other than that? That's why you can't get mad at somebody and correct the situation. Because you're sowing seeds of anger. You're sowing seeds of destruction. You're sowing seeds of strife. And when strife is, James says, there's confusion in every evil work. If you don't want the evil work, don't sow the seed. And that's what he's saying. There's no way around this. Whatever you do and say is going to come back. But the nice thing about it is when we do something wrong, there's a wonderful thing. If you're born again, there's a wonderful place to go.
Yes.
And that's 1 John 1:9.
Yes.
If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And to cleanse you from all
unrighteousness.
Not you, he cleanses
Hallelujah. You.
Because you've taken account of it. You have humbled yourself before the Lord, and the Lord has dealt with it for you. If you know, that's so awesome. And he says that he's going to forget our sins. You know what that means? It doesn't mean just forgive. It means he has no remembrance of them. Then why should I? I'm in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And his loving kindness and tender mercy has been extended to me. Now, I may have to go do something, apologize, or
restitution.
But let the Holy Spirit guide you in that. And you're reaching out to that person is not conditioned. I have a word and I've lost it. But it's your
depending on it.
Yeah, it does not depend on what the other person does, okay? Whether they slap your face or whatever and never forgive you again, what they do does not determine what you do. Your response has still got to be the same. You've got to show love to the person and forgiveness, whether they ever acknowledge it.
There's a good old movie called Sergeant York with Gary Cooper. I don't know if you ever saw it. Sergeant York was in World War I, but he was a really mean, when he was on his own before he got drafted, he was a mean, very evil man, and everybody was afraid of him, but he got saved, and he went around trying to make up with everybody, and he came to this one guy, and the guy kept running away from him because he was afraid of him, and he kept chasing him, and it's a pretty cool scene when they finally get together.
What's
and he tells him he's sorry. It's called Sergeant York.
It's not just a movie. It's a documentary. It's
okay.
A real person.
Yeah,
that
it's a true story.
Yeah, he became one of the most famous
people
in World War I.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very dynamic. And even there, as a Christian, he didn't want to kill anyone.
Yeah, he was a conscientious objector.
So he really had a hard time with that until...
Yeah.
A bunch
Walter
of people
Brennan
were killed around
really
him. Until a bunch of people were killed around him, and he saw the difference between military action and protection and murder. There's a difference between the two.
Yes.
The Bible says, "Do not murder."
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say, "Do not kill."
Mm-hmm.
It said, "Do not murder," and there's a difference between the two. If those military those soldiers are actually they're just like in the Old Testament time when God would send out warriors and stuff. They're actually agents of God.
Yes.
You know, for what they're doing. Now, I don't want to ever do that.
No, but when they draft these guys, or when they did draft them, or
but
when these guys get into the service, this one fellow that was a Marine, he told me, he said, and he was only 18 years old when he went to the South Pacific and all that fighting with the Japanese, hand-to-hand combat and everything, and they told them, think of this, that you're doing this for your mother. You're protecting your mother.
And that's really
otherwise
what you're
they
doing.
They couldn't justify it.
Right.
You know?
You are protecting something that you're responsible for, the way the soldiers were in the Old Testament in that, and even after that. We are warriors for Christ.
Yeah.
We're on watch, you know, and whatever that entails, he'll take care of it. There's a difference. Murder is something totally different. Murder is something pre-planned. Murder is anger, revenge, or greed, or something involved in that. That's
Jesus
totally
said,
different.
If you call your brother an evil name,
yeah, you're
that's
a
murder.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's not our subject, but all seed, good and bad, are sown by the words of our mouth. And we need to remember that. When I'm speaking, those words are good or they're bad. In Matthew 12:35, and this drives it home to me. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and you know Jesus is not a liar. He's telling the truth. And he's telling you what is going to be. Matthew 12:35, it says, the good man, now he's looking at both good and bad here. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. So notice where they both come from. They both come from inside. They both come from the spirit of the man. Notice one is treasure, one is a storehouse. There's a big difference between a treasury and a storehouse. Evil is a storehouse. Good man is a treasure. Verse 36, but I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to. Now, what's that?
Requirement.
That's an absolute. There's no way around this. Men, and that's women too, men will have to give account of every idle, inoperative, non-working word that they speak. Now, inoperative, non-working word is something that's not filled with faith. Something that's not God's word, that's got a life in it. If it's an evil word, then it's evil and inoperative and has no life in it. Verse 37, for. In other words, this is what's going to happen. This is why it's going to happen. For by your words, I can say it this way, by my words. Maybe it's better to say it, by my words. Say that with me.
By my words.
Now you've got it. You say, for by your word you will be justified and acquitted, set free, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. So when you're saying evil things and angry and mean things, you're sentencing yourself. Now there again, praise God for 1 John 1:9. If you're born again, you can get that wiped out. If you're not, it doesn't change the word. This is not conditional to being born again.
But you do that enough and you begin to learn.
Yeah. And that's what happens. Thank God for his mercy. If you're born again, you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about hell. But it's going to make you a miserable life here. You're going to come be sowing a bunch of stuff you don't want sowing. And you're going to have result from that. But see, you can control that by repenting.
Amen.
But you got to mean business.
But the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah, and it makes you stronger. The next time you do it, you'll be reminded quicker of that. And then the next time, quicker. And then the next time, you may just have the thought and you don't go any further. You'll put your hand over your mouth. That's what the word says to do. So if you see me doing... that means I'm getting ready to say something. Don't say it. And remember, not every thought you have is your thought.
Exactly. Right.
And it's just because you think it, try to find where that thought come from. Did it come from out here or from here?
Yeah.
If it come from here, then you need to correct that one. If it come from out here, it's not your thought until you act on it. Now, when you act on it, now it's your thought. You have to deal with it.
Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, they're talking about the Sermon on the Mount. He said, do not take thought. Take thought,
yeah.
Saying.
Take it, saying.
In other words, if we think something and we begin to speak it.
Now it's yours.
Yeah.
You govern
what
you say.
That's how you
say.
Take thought,
if,
is to speak it.
If you take a thought and it's not a right thought, you change what you say. You bless the person instead. You know, you speak the word. That's how you control your thoughts. I have orders to be out at 10:40 at 9:45, so I guess I better quit. Father, we thank you that your word is in us. We thank you that this word that we received today will bring life to us, Lord, and you'll keep it before us, Father, because it brings joy to you when we speak your word instead of speaking something wrong. Father, help us to remember everything we say and do is a seed sown. If we don't want harvest, we shouldn't sow the seed. Father, we thank you for your eternal forgiveness for when we do make wrong decisions. Where we do ask your forgiveness. And like they said in the Old Testament, put a watch on my lips, O Lord. That was David, I believe. Put a watch on our lips. That watch is the word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.